good evening, folks. It's good to see you tonight. I want to read from the book of Philippians chapter 3. Book of Philippians chapter 3. And preach tonight from this portion of Scripture as the good Lord would be pleased to enable me to do so. The book of Philippians chapter 3. I begin the reading with verse 1. And the Bible said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Now let's bow our heads for just a brief word of prayer. Going to pray that the Lord be pleased to help me tonight and to help you as we look into His Word. And I invite you to pray with me now. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this Resurrection Sunday. We're thankful for Thy Word now that we can look into. And I pray that You'll bless this reading of the Word to our hearts. And I pray that the Spirit of God would have His way with me now as I share the thoughts You've put on my heart. And I pray for good ground tonight, that the seed of Thy Word may find it and bring forth fruit in every heart and in every life. And I make this petition in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I asked my wife, I said, "Do you think many folks will be at church tonight?" She said, "Oh, there'll be a few there." She said, "There might be quite a few tired from hunting Easter eggs." So I guess maybe a few didn't come tonight tired from hunting Easter eggs. I did a little study on all that when I first got saved, you know. And I found out there's a lot of heathenism and paganism being perpetuated by professing Christians. And I purposed in my heart that I'd not be among that number that perpetuate the heathenism and the paganism of this time that we call Easter. And you ought to study about that and purpose in your own heart not to be among that number of professing Christians that perpetuate that which we've been delivered from by the grace of God. Amen. Look with me at verse number 10. The words of the Apostle Paul, "that I may know Him." And notice these words, "the power of His resurrection." That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The Bible is a miraculous book. And there are a number of miracles in this miraculous book, the Bible. In the Old Testament, there is a miracle that stands out above all others, many times referred to in the Old Testament, that Red Sea crossing. The prophets remind the people that they worship and serve a God who delivered the nation from Egyptian bondage, that brought them out and parted the Red Sea, and the children of God, God's people, passed through that Red Sea on dry ground, which the Egyptians, when they tried to do, were drowned there. You know, that Red Sea crossing is an Old Testament picture of the resurrection. The children of Israel went down into a place of death and came out on the other side, on, as it were, resurrection ground. That's why the first song in Scripture is recorded in Exodus 15. The first song in the Bible mentioned in Exodus 15, just after a great salvation experience, and as it were, a resurrection from death. Of course, the great miracle in the New Testament is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in the reading tonight, is writing to the church at Philippi. And he said here in the first part of this chapter that he's writing some things that he had already written before and said before. And he said it was needful. He reminded them of all he was and possessed before he became a Christian, before he came to know the Lord Jesus. And he was something else, was he not? He had attained a very high place in religious society, in the social structure of his day. But he tells us here, in this portion of Scripture, the last part of verse 8, that he had suffered the loss of all things that he had accomplished, that he may win Christ. That he might gain Christ, he forsook everything that he had attained, everything he was, for one purpose and for one purpose, and that was to have the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what he's saying here is true of every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God. If you're saved tonight, you're saved because you found the Lord Jesus precious to your soul. More precious than anything else in this world. The Apostle Paul said, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is of God, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And he says in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Now, on this Resurrection Sunday, I'm especially interested in those words, the power of His resurrection. Paul said to know Him is the all-consuming passion of my life, and to know the power of His resurrection. The greatest enemy that you and I have to face is that enemy, death. And if we don't know that we have the victory over death, then we're of all men surely most miserable. And the only way tonight we can know that we have the victory over death is if we're trusting in Him who came into this world and conquered death, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Now I want you to notice with me tonight briefly five things about the power of His resurrection. First of all, that power of His resurrection is a convincing power. John chapter 2 and verse 19, the Lord Jesus uttered these words, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it again." He had just entered the temple, And he had driven out those people that were making merchandise of God's people in God's holy place. Those that changed money and sold doves and different things in the temple. He came in there with a scourge of cords and he drove them out. He said, I'm the Son of God. They said, what sign show us? If you're the Son of God, prove it. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it back up. I'll build it again. Now, that's an amazing statement. Jesus is either who he said he was, or he's a raving maniac and a lunatic. You know what he was saying? He was saying, kill me, and in 3 days, I'll get up. Bodily. Bodily, I'll get up. Kill me. And in 3 days, I'll resurrect myself. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 said he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now it's resurrection. It's not reincarnation. In Australia one time, we showed a film, Gods of the New Age. And we had a number of people come to watch that film. There was a man that came named Reiner Tini. He was a German Jew. He had 2 earned doctor's degrees from European universities. The smartest man I ever talked to. I began to talk to him. And I gave him different verses from the Bible. And you know, most of the verses in the Bible, he said he believed. I said, do you believe John 14 and verse 6? He said, what does it say? I said, the Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I said, you don't believe that verse, do you? He said, sure, I believe that verse. I said, how can you? And when he explained it to me, I understood how he could. He said, you see, Jesus was the Christ for that day. But he's not the Christ for our day. The Christ for our day is a man named Sai Baba who lives in India. He said he's the Christ for our day. He said Jesus was the Christ for that day. I said, you don't believe he was the virgin born Son of God, God of very God, come in flesh? He said, oh no, he was just the Christ that assumed the human form in his day. Well, as I began to witness to him further, I talked to him about the resurrection. Oh, here, he couldn't handle the resurrection. He said, oh no, I don't believe in a resurrection of the body. He said, I believe in reincarnation. He said, I don't believe that Jesus Christ got up bodily. And then he told me that he believed the disciples of Jesus came and stole away his body. And I said, you know something? I said, that's the same thing that the Jews said in the very day that Jesus rose from the dead. I said, listen, Jesus Christ convincingly proved that he was who he said he was. He said, destroy this temple, and by the power of Almighty God, in 3 days I'll raise it up and build it again. You know, there's a society in America called the Flat Earth Society. They don't believe the earth's round. They believe it's flat. I hope none of y'all are members of that society. In the face of all the facts, in the face of pictures from outer space, in the face of all that man has learned about our solar system and planets, they hold to the fact that our earth is flat. And there are some very learned people in that society. But they do not believe the earth is round. And this world is full of people who do not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead bodily. But this Bible declares that by the power of God, he rose from the dead. The power of his resurrection, there's convincing power in my text. Now notice with me secondly, there's confirming power in the text. Acts chapter 2. And verse 32 and 33, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. And as he preaches, he says these words. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. And when he came, there was this sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues like as of fire set upon the apostles in that upper room. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And when it was noised abroad, and people came and heard them, devout Jews out of every nation under heaven came and heard those apostles speaking in their own languages wherein they were born, they couldn't understand what was going on. And Peter said, listen, what you're seeing is a manifestation of the Spirit of God come as a result of what the Lord Jesus said would happen. You see, the Son of God said this to his disciples. He said, I'm getting ready to go away. He said, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to Calvary to make payment for sin. He said, I'm going to die, be buried, and rise again the third day. And after that, he was with them for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He told them, I'm going back to heaven. But when the time comes, I'm sending the Holy Ghost, another comforter, to be with you. And when he comes, he'll empower you and help you to be the witness you ought to be. And on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, right on time, the Holy Ghost of God came to confirm that what Jesus said and did was the very truth of God. Now listen to me. In the Old Testament, they had a Day of Atonement. Once every year, Leviticus 16, you can read about it, the high priest of Israel went inside the Holy of Holies and he made an atonement. He sprinkled blood on the mercy seat for all the sins of the people. He went in and sprinkled the blood and he came out. Now, if you've ever studied in the Old Testament about the apparel of the high priest, you know that on the hem of the garment, on the fringe of his garment, he had a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. And when he moved, you'd hear those bells. Now, I believe it was Josephus. I don't know if it's true or not, and other men have said it. I don't know if it's true or not. But they said on the Day of Atonement, not only did the high priest have on his garments that he had to have on to go in the Holy of Holies to make that atonement for the sin of the people, but he also had a rope, a length of rope on him, tied around him, with the end of it out past the veil, so if something happened to him, they could drag him out. Because anybody who went past that veil was a dead man, except the high priest. And you know, they didn't know that necessarily God would receive that blood sacrifice. So the high priest went in with fear and trembling and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, and then he came out. And when he came out, all the people knew that God had accepted the sacrifice. How do you and I know that God accepted the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on Calvary? How do we know? Well, I'll tell you how we know. The Son of God said, when I go yonder to the glory world, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to send back the Spirit of God. And when He comes, you'll know that what I did here has been accepted yonder. And the Holy Ghost of God came on the day of Pentecost with confirming power, saying that what the Son of God did when He delivered Himself for our offenses and raised again for our justification was accepted by God the Father there in the glory world. I'm saying to you, it's the power of the resurrection in confirmation. I know that God accepted the Lord Jesus, and I know that God accepts me in Him. Because He accepted Him. Thank God. You know, folks talk about, won't you accept the Lord Jesus? No, you better just receive Him. And when you receive Him, you'll be accepted in Him. Ephesians 1 and verse number 6. There's convincing power. in the resurrection of the Son of God. There's confirming power in the resurrection of the Son of God. There's also converting power in the resurrection of the Son of God. John chapter 5 and verse number 21, the Lord Jesus speaking, and listen to what He said here. John chapter 5 and verse number 21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." In John chapter 11 and verse 25, He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." Converting power. He has the power to convert from deadness to life. He who conquered death can conquer your deadness. If he conquered death, when death came his way, he won't have any problem conquering your deadness in sin or conquering death when death comes your way. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. New life in Christ. Abundant life. Overcoming life. I'm going to tell you, in our day, there are a lot of independent Baptists, and all they have is the form, but they don't have the power. They've heard a few verses from the Bible, and they believe the Bible, verses that they've heard, and they probably made a trip down to the front, and they've kneeled down, and they've prayed a prayer, and they thought that that's all there is to it. Well, it is that much. You've got to hear some verses from the Bible, and you've got to believe what they say, and you must pray and ask God to have mercy on you and save you. But God Almighty must save you. The miracle-working power of God, the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, must raise a sinner from his deadness in sin. Thank God, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And that's what Paul said in Romans chapter 5. He said, no matter how much sin abounds, the grace of God in Jesus Christ is able to superabound over that sin. But when he got to Romans chapter 6, he said this, "What shall we sin? What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now listen, here's what God reckons to be so. When you come receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, God puts you in Him. And as far as God is concerned, when Christ went to Calvary, you were in Christ. When Christ died on the cross for sin, you died on the cross for sin. And your sin died there with Him. When He went in the grave, you went in the grave. When He got up, you got up. When He began to walk in newness of life, you and I who receive Him walk in newness of life. I'm saying to you, there is converting power in His resurrection. Thank God, I'm glad when I came to know the Lord Jesus, I didn't have to start struggling and striving, trying to overcome sin. Thank God there was a power in me to overcome. Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of church folks struggling with this sin and that sin, and you got to mortify your sin. And it is a battle. But it seems that there are folk that can't ever get the victory over this sin or that sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. My God, what a verse. Romans 6 and verse 14. Why? Because of the converting power of His resurrection, invading the life of a sinner dead in sin, converting him from deadness in sin to new life, abundant life, overcoming life in the Lord Jesus. Thank God, I'm glad today that I don't have to sin. Aren't you? I'm thankful today that there's nothing in life, world, flesh, or devil that can overcome the power of His resurrection. No wonder Paul wanted to know that power. Oh, he said to be in Him and to be found in Him. Not my own righteousness, not my own, but His. Oh, to win Him and to know Him and the power of His resurrection. You know, do you feel like sometime, folk, that you're just sort of struggling along? Do you feel like you just can't hardly make it, that life's about got you whipped? You must be out of touch with the source of power. Power. Power at work in us. Power that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Are you interested in that? You know, most people are power conscious, except where it really matters, in the power that I'm talking about, the converting power of His resurrection. Now notice with me fourthly, not only the convincing power and the confirming power and the converting power, but thank God there is a consoling power to His resurrection. John 10 and verse 18. No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and power to take it back up and take it again. Did you hear that? The Son of God said, I've got power to lay it down when I get ready and power to take it up. When you read this Bible, you see the Son of God as a captive going to Calvary's cross, and a captive in a tomb. But He didn't stay there captive. He entered the tomb a captive, and He came out a conqueror. He turned that tomb into a tunnel, and everybody trusts Him. We may go down into that place called the tomb, but thank God we just like Him shall emerge on the other side to live forever. John 14 and 19. Because I live, ye shall live also. Peter said, 1 Peter 1, 3, we've been begotten again to a lively hope. A living hope. Why? Because of the consoling power of the resurrection. I like what the preacher said this morning, didn't you? About saints sleeping. Just going to sleep. What comfort for every one of us, though a loved one departs, and though sometime out there in the future, you and I, if the Lord doesn't come for His own, are headed for the graveyard. What grand consolation is ours? The words of the Son of God. Because I live, ye shall live also. Peter said, a living hope. The Son of God said, before He ascended, all power given unto me in heaven and in earth. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for consolation and comfort in the resurrection for every child of God when death invades the family, when death invades and snatches a loved one, a friend, a neighbor. Thank God for consolation that all is not lost and they're not gone forever. But he who met death and destroyed death, and him that had the power of death, thank God there's real consolation in that wonderful text. Because I live, ye shall live also. And then my last point is a negative point. They told me in a homiletics class, when I took a homiletics course in school, they said, never end a sermon on a negative note. But what do they know about preaching? Acts 17, Paul on Mars Hill. God give him opportunity to preach to those philosophers. He took them back to creation, the unknown God. He said he made everything. In him we live and move and have our being. Because he owns everything and we owe him everything, he said we better listen to him. He's been gracious and merciful. Acts 17:30. He winked at ignorance. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness. Notice, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now there's consoling power in the resurrection for everyone that trusts in Christ. But for those that do not repent and trust the Lord Jesus, there is condemning power in the resurrection. There's a man in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. And that man, the God-man, will one day be every man's judge. He said in John 5:22, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus Christ, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, will one day sit on the throne of judgment. And Daniel said, from his face, heaven and earth fled away. And John said the same thing. That fiery stream issuing forth from that throne. Jesus, the man, the God-man, on the throne in judgment. Judge. And listen, standard by which men are judged. You know, most unsaved folks you talk to, they've got a standard in their own mind, and they think God is going to judge according to the standard in their own mind. I don't know the unsaved people I've talked to, and they told me, well, God understands. I've done a few wrong things, but I've also done some good things. And I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And if they're all right, and they may be all right, then I don't think I have anything to worry about. You see, they've set up a standard in their own mind. Listen, Jesus Christ is both judge and standard by which men shall be judged. Now listen what the Bible said about him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Did you hear that? 2 Corinthians 5:21 said that Jesus Christ knew no
sin. 1 Peter 2:22 said that he did no sin. 1 John 3:5, in him is no sin. Are you getting the picture? Jesus Christ, men and women, are coming before him in judgment. And they don't have a thing to worry about. If it can be said of them at the judgment day that they knew no sin and did no sin, and in them is no sin. I say to you, this world's in big trouble. God Almighty declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, and that's good news to every repentant, believing sinner that has imputed to their account the very righteousness and holiness of the God-man Jesus Christ, our Savior. But for everyone who refuses to repent, and there's some of you folk here tonight, you've never repented of your sin. You've never turned from it and trusted the Lord Jesus. You're in big trouble. Jesus Christ will say, take him away and take her away into outer darkness. They don't have the righteousness of God Almighty. Oh, you need a Savior. I know you're a pretty good person. And I know there's a lot of things you haven't done. You may never have slapped your mama or cussed her either. But God said you're a wicked sinner. And God said only one sin, one offense, makes you guilty of everything. And you say, well, I ain't got much to worry about. I tell you, you got a lot to worry about. You're going to die. And I don't know that man who he was that choked to death today, but I know this, it's easy to leave this world. And some of you tonight, some of you young folk, maybe some of you older folk, you're not ready to go. You're not ready to face him. Paul said, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Oh, no. But I want to be found in him having the very righteousness of God, because that's the only righteousness that God will accept. Did you hear me? The only righteousness that God will accept is God's own righteousness. We're not talking about relative righteousness. God demands absolute holiness. Can you deliver? No, you can't. God's give assurance to you, sinner. You're in trouble. He raised his son from the dead. And his son's going to judge you. You reject his righteousness, you're doomed and damned. And if you do it, you're a fool. You're an eternal fool. Boy, God's gracious. He had mercy on me for many years. And hopefully, he'll have mercy on everyone in this building. Till they come to know the Lord Jesus in the free pardon and forgiveness of sin. But there's not a sinner, and there's not a child of God in this building that has assurance tonight that God's going to have mercy on every lost person in this building until they come to that place of repentance and faith. And if you see a need at all tonight of repenting of your sin and casting yourself on the mercy and the grace of God, you ought to do it. You ought to do it.
Don't listen to the devil. Don't deceive yourself. You better come while the door of mercy's open. There's condemning power in the resurrection of God's dear Son. Do you know Him? Thank God tonight, I'm glad for Holy Ghost assurance in my soul that everything's all right between me and my Heavenly Father. Do you have that assurance? Do you know that everything's all right between you and the Lord? Let's bow our heads for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I do thank Thee for Thy blessed Word and for the power of the resurrection. And I pray that the same power that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead those many years ago